Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
By three, 15 seconds remaining, into the hands of Maxey. One thing the Knicks can't afford is a three-point attempt. Maxey launches the three. Oh, he knocks it in! Tyrese Maxey with 8 seconds remaining. Knicks have timeouts left. Brunson on the drive, gets inside the floater. Blocked. Overtime!
How good is Breen, by the way? He's just so good. That was the call on MSG Network. By the way, Denton, is Monica McNutt the analyst with Breen on MSG?
I believe she's radio.
Oh, is she radio? Okay. Because I think she's excellent, too, just as an aside. And by the way, she's from here, which I didn't realize until recently. Another, you know, thriller NBA playoff game. We had one Monday night in Denver. They're coming fast and furious now. If you're not paying attention, you should. These games do not resemble NBA regular season games, not even close. The 76ers on Maxey's 7 points in the final 28 seconds of regulation forced OT. They won it in overtime, 112-106, to remain alive. The series goes back to Philly for game six. The Garden was on fire last night. Jumping on with us right now, we've had Sean on the show before. He's excellent. Sean Devaney writes for Heavy.com. He's an NBA insider. So I'll start with this. Do you think it seems like in reading some of the post game, the plan was to try to foul up three. Do you think they had an opportunity to, and do you think they should have there at the end of regulation?
Well, you know, if you get into like the analytics and the science of fouling when you're up by three, then what they say is you want to wait to the last possible second. That's one of them. That's, you know, obviously logical as well. But, you know, that's what you're supposed to do. I don't think anybody expected Tyrese Maxey to hurl up a 34-footer. And you know, when you look at it, nobody was in position to commit that foul at that point. So, you know, I think that they wanted to let a little more time run off the clock and then go ahead and try to get the foul at that point. So, you know, I mean, in today's NBA, you probably have to rethink you know, what's a logical shooting spot, because more and more guys will shoot from the logos or from 34, 35 feet. But I think the approach was one more of trying to let a little more time come off the clock before you go ahead and commit the foul.
Yeah, it's such a great point, because no one would think about fouling Tyrese Maxey 5 years ago from 34 feet coming off that ball screen, which, by the way, was set closer to like 40 feet, 42 feet, you know, almost at half court. And yet, you know, and not only that, he's leaning into a three from 34 feet. It's not like it's a feet set, you know, catch and shoot. He's got forward momentum leaning into it. And I don't know. I mean, I talked about it a little bit in the open, and I was talking to friends last night after the game. I don't think I think about fouling that particular situation. I do think McBride had an opportunity potentially. If anything, I think you step up, and I'm trying to think who it was. I think it was Robinson was screened by Embiid. I think you just – you try to run it back to half court and make him give up the ball there, if anything.
Yeah, 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 if you can. But, again, you know, that's one of the problems that a lot of coaches have is that they've been sort of reared and brought up, and certainly Tibbs is one of them. You know, throughout the last 20 years and the way things have changed in the last 4 or 5 years, you've really got to change how you see the length of the court. And, you know, you've got to consider, 35 feet to be, within shooting range.
Yeah.
And I think that, that you just, it's still not natural for coaches to think that way and to start calling for the foul when somebody's open like that. And I think that's even within that, look, I mean, at some point you got to just tip your cap to Tyrese Maxey, right? I mean,
right.
He made a 34 footer at some point. If you're the Knicks, you say, if he makes that shot, then that's it. We're tied. Like, we can't, you have to allow, you have to allow him some kind of look. And if that's the best that they can get, nine times out of 10, he's not going to make it.
Did you think that was a flagrant on Embiid, the slap down that caught Brunson's face? I thought he was slapping down to try to get the ball. What did you think?
Yeah, I think the problem that Embiid had with that was that it was sort of a secondary action that there was the first action that looked like a regular foul, and then to kind of come down afterwards. I think that's what they saw. I do think that Embiid is a victim of himself a little bit in this series.
Yeah.
Where, I think that the knee is bothering him to the extent where, look, he's putting up great numbers. I mean, he is producing, but he's dealing with a lot of pain in that. And I think he's a half step slow, and I think it frustrates him. And I think you've seen that a few times where, he commits the foul because he's a half step slow, and then he commits a little extra afterwards because he's frustrated that he's a half step slow. And I think he's got to get that frustration under control. Wound up not really hurting them too much in the end. Obviously, they win the game, but that's not always going to be the case. So I certainly can understand him being in the position that he's in, playing through what he's playing through and the frustration he must feel. But at the same time, you've got to, as a veteran especially, you've got to rein that in.
I mentioned this earlier. Here's a guy with a knee injury. Bell's palsy's been diagnosed. Mm-hmm. And yesterday he had a severe migraine, and he played 48 minutes. Anthony Davis would have been laid up for 2 weeks had he had one of the three. Seriously.
No, yeah. I mean, you've got to tip your cap to Embiid and what he's done, the numbers he's put up. He's done this his whole career. I mean, he is not, people forget that he sat out for the first 2 years of his
right.
career, basically while he tried
yeah.
to get his knees right. He had a hip problem as well. He had everything. So he's played with pain pretty much his whole career. He's never been an 82 game, per year kind of player. But he does try to grind out there when he can and get out there. There's few players who are more accustomed to playing through pain than Joel Embiid. He seems to really thrive on it. I'm sure he'd rather not, but but he does certainly seem to thrive on it.
Sean Devaney is an NBA insider for Heavy.com. You can follow him on X on Twitter at Sean Devaney, DEVENEY. Two more on this series. I've always really, I think from a strategy standpoint, X's and O's standpoint, I don't know about player relationship standpoint, but I think Nurse and Tibbs is a really high-level coaching matchup. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. And, obviously different styles. And I always like to see where Tibbs is very much a gut coach and an old school coach and has the reputation for, trotting guys out for 48 minutes a game, no matter what, that's his style. He came up with the old Knicks and all that. So, he's very much that. Whereas Nurse is, kind of comes from the Daryl Morey tree and you know, really uses a lot of analytics and a lot of experimentation. So they're very, very different in terms of their approaches. But it is funny when you're watching the game that, you know, in the end, it's just playoff basketball, that, you know, how they get there is a little bit different. But they both kind of wind up in the same place.
All right. Do you give Philadelphia a legitimate chance? Let me just ask you, through five games, if you didn't know that the Knicks were up 3-2 in the series, who would you guess would be up in the series?
Yeah, I mean, I would guess at the Knicks. I just think the Knicks would have looked like the better team.
Okay.
You know, throughout, because they you know, just because the role players have been much better than Philadelphia's role players. I think what happened last night, which would concern me if I was a Knicks fan going forward, is that Tobias Harris played really well. Kelly Oubre played well. You know, if that's going to be the case, it's going to be tough. It's going to be that much tougher for the Knicks is that they, you know, part of the reason they were up 3-1 to begin with is because, you know, those other players for the Sixers really hadn't shown up much. But if they're going to show up, then it's going to be that much tougher because the Knicks have won the role player battle. And you know, the Sixers have been pretty far behind in that. If that evens up, it's going to be tough for the Knicks to close this thing out.
All right, let's talk about the series that ended on Monday night with just a couple of just memorable games. I mean, Game 2 and Game 5 for sure, and the Jamal Murray finishes. So during the regular season and definitely over the last couple of weeks, from my standpoint, I'm curious as to what you think and what you think the conversation around the league is. I think LeBron is playing at a level and has played at a level this year that in some ways is the best he's ever played. I don't think he's ever shot the three better. I think he's just a better shooter in general than he's ever been in his career. He looks bigger, stronger, maybe even more athletic than he's ever looked. What do you say?
Well, yeah, I think that as he's gotten older, he has gotten better at sort of strategically deploying his strengths, if that makes sense, you know, where he knows when to, you know, to play the bully ball and kind of, you know, force his way into the paint. You know, he knows when to sit back and be a point guard. I mean, he's gone through years where he's played point guard. The year they won a championship, he led the league in assists. He had over 10 assists a game. So he's got that experience now of being sort of a starting point guard, and he's got the experience of you know, using his physicality to get where he wants, and he's become a better shooter as you say. So he knows how to use that. And he's kind of, you know, he's taken all these things. I think he understands his age and his body and knows, you know, he can't go 100% all the time like he did when he was 23. But, you know, now he can kind of, he knows he's got so many tools and he knows when to use them. And I think that's the big thing is that he's really gotten to a point where, you know, his mind is well aligned with what he can do physically.
How do they create a situation in Los Angeles where he stays and they legitimately contend for a title? Who do they have to add?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question because the roster that they had coming into this year, you'd have to think they had a pretty good chance. They had great role players up and down. You know, they weren't able to stay healthy, but you know, they were healthy enough to be better than they were. They shouldn't have been, you know, the number seven seed. They were too good for that. So yeah, you know, it's hard to say what they're supposed to do at this point. They got a great year out of Anthony Davis, and you mentioned, you know, the fact that he was relatively healthy this year. You know, that can you count on that going forward? So it's hard to say what they're going to need to do. I suspect that they're going to chase after a third star. I don't think that's necessarily the right thing to do. I think they've got to change coaches. I think the players have no faith in Darvin Ham, and you just can't have that situation. You don't want to be in a situation where you keep cycling through coaches, but at the same time, you know, you can't have a situation where the players have very little confidence in their coach, and I don't think they have much confidence in Darvin Ham. So I think you start there. And then I think, you just try to make some better. I think they need a shooter. They need sort of a pure three-point shooter that they can rely on. I think you make that a focus. And you really try to tighten up the rotation, get the best eight guys or so that you can. If you can get Alex Caruso back, somebody like that, he was such a good player for them. You get a shooter like a Duncan Robinson, just a pure shooter. I think they just need to really focus on making sure they have their roles filled. And I think they could be much better. I suspect that's not what they're going to do, though, that they're going to go out and go hunting for a third star.
Yeah, I mean, you said it at the beginning. It certainly seemed like they were built to continue to be, to be in a position where they were still playing. Obviously, the seeding didn't help. But Anthony Davis, and I'm sure he is a sweet guy, and he's an all-time great. I'm not going to take that away from him. But the other night was just – it's just happened too much. I mean, he got breathed on, and they were playing 4-on-5 for basically a quarter and a half. I don't know how they hung in there. They've got to find a level of toughness, because LeBron was, you talked about bully ball. I think he should have continued to play bully ball. He settled for some threes there in the final 5 minutes or so. But how do you view Anthony Davis, after the other night?
Yeah, it's tough, because during the regular season he had, you could argue, his best season ever.
Yeah.
And I think it'd be a pretty easy argument there that was his best season. But you can't, he's not somebody you can rely on in the postseason because he is so injury prone. But having said that, I think the answer is you've got to get some tougher guys around him. So, if he does go down, then you've got you've got ample enough supporting cast around him, and they just didn't have that. And again, they had their own injuries. Jared Vanderbilt was supposed to be somebody like that who could who could bring some toughness to that front court. He just didn't play, wasn't out there. But they were still good enough where they shouldn't have been in this position to begin with.
All right, so we haven't talked at all about Denver. Jamal Murray, amazing down the stretch of these games. And Jokic, of course, all time. And Michael Porter Jr., probably the best shooting of his career. I mean, he looks like there's no chance of missing his shot when he comes off with his feet set. So how do you see this series? I know for people like me, I can't wait to see this matchup. Minnesota is, with their star being super young, you would say maybe it's too early, but unlike other young teams in the past, they are so good defensively. So do you give them a chance?
I do. I think it's a long shot. I think Denver's experience level over seven games is going to be what really does decide this thing. But I don't think you can rule out the fact that that the exuberance, the swagger, the confidence that Anthony Edwards brings at such a young age, that he's going to go in there and at least not be intimidated, and he's going to take the fight right to the Nuggets. And there's been a criticism of the Timberwolves over the years, as they've had guys like Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins and guys like that over the years, has been that this lack of toughness. Anthony Edwards is the guy who fixes all of that. He's the guy who definitely changes all that. So I'm very, very interested to see, what he does on the floor, but sort of how he conducts himself and the swagger and all those kinds of things. It's been a lot of fun to watch him. Hopefully this will be a good long series. I think the longer that Anthony Edwards is sort of exposed to a national audience, I think the better it is for the league, because I really think he's, one of the major future stars of the NBA at this point.
Yeah, I think that's a really good observation. I hope the same happens, because he is clearly one of those guys that will be around for a while and will be talked about, but he hasn't been in that high exposure spot yet, and I don't even know if second round does it. In some ways, Sean, I actually think Nikola Jokic was introduced to a lot of sports fans last June. You know, as of course NBA fans have known him, but I think casual sports fans were completely unaware of just how great he was until he got to the finals and won a title.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And you know, at this point, you know, if you're Anthony Edwards and the Timberwolves, you got to kind of take what's in front of you. And I don't think that they can win this series. I think they can make it a good series, you know, a 6-7 game series, a memorable series, and maybe, you know, going up against the defending champs can sort of bring more attention his way. But you know, it's just starting for him. I think he's 22 years old, so you know, this is really just the beginning.
All right, just two more, real quickly in the East. Can anybody win 4 out of 7 against Boston?
You know, we'll see what happens with this Porzingis injury. I don't think, you know, look, they're the number one seed. They'll play either Cleveland or, you know, assuming they get by Miami, they'll play either Cleveland or Orlando. I think even without Porzingis, they'll be fine against those two teams. But, you know, you get to the conference finals and it's the Knicks or whoever it might be. If Milwaukee can come back, that's a little bit dangerous. If you get Giannis back, you get Lillard back, and you're going to want Porzingis on the floor. But even that, you know, even if Porzingis doesn't play again in the rest of the East playoffs, I still think the Celtics would be favored in each of the series that they could possibly get.
All right, lastly, back to the West as we talk to Sean Devaney from Heavy.com. So this is personal because I put back in early January, I took the Clippers to win the West at plus 800. I just thought Kawhi's not load managing. This team is really coming along. And there was a stretch there where he was, you know, he was playing MVP-like. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's going to play. I don't think he should play after seeing him in that last in game three. But I'm just curious, do you think either one of these two teams, fully healthy, like Kawhi comes back and he's healthy, would have a shot against Denver if they got to the Western Conference Finals?
Yeah, I think a shot, you know, but especially these two teams because they are playoff tested. I mean, you know, you've got Oklahoma City, obviously, you know, would be a tough matchup, and they have not looked intimidated by the postseason thus far, at least.
Like Minnesota.
Just like Minnesota, right. Those two teams had that question around them, and I think they've answered it pretty well here in the first in the early going. But you know, if the Clippers or Dallas were able to survive a series against Oklahoma City, I think that they'd be pretty well tested and ready for Denver. Obviously, Denver would be a huge favorite. But you know, both of these teams. It's funny because if you go back, Kevin, to the in-season tournament in November, the Clippers and Dallas played a game that was 144-126, and that's kind of how I thought these teams were going to be. That they were going to have to be teams that scored 140 points to win. But they've been much better. Both of these teams have been much, much better defensively. You know, as the season went on, and certainly in the playoffs, and I think both are capable of playing the kind of defense that can slow the Nuggets down and potentially give you a chance to win. I would still have the Nuggets, obviously, as a big favorite, but I think both of those teams do play good enough defense to where they could certainly give Denver a series.
You know, I lied. I got one more for you. There's a lot of conversation, obviously, over the last couple of years about Kyrie Irving and how he sabotaged multiple situations he was in. I'll move on from that and just focus in on the player. I don't know that there aren't many players in the history of the game as skilled as a scorer as Kyrie Irving. And the truth is, you know, in Cleveland and now maybe in Dallas, he's the alpha on these teams. You know, when it gets to some of these big games, just give me 30 seconds on Kyrie Irving and what you and the league thinks about the way he plays in some of these games. It's amazing.
Yeah, and that's almost the frustrating thing about the first part that you mentioned, the sabotage sort of thing, is that when he's playing and when he's focused and when he's locked in, you know, he's he's as good a clutch player as we've seen in the last 10, 15 years, is that his ability to contort his body and still get off a high percentage shot is unmatched. And you know, he knows him. He knows his space on the floor at all times. And because of that, he's always able to get off a quality shot against whatever defense. And when you get in these clutch situations in the playoffs, that's what you need. And there's nobody better at it than Kyrie Irving. It's just, like you say, he tends to get in his own way sometimes. And that's the frustrating part.
It's been fun so far. There's a lot more to go. Thanks for doing this. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Kevin.
Yep, Sean Devaney, everybody, at Sean Devaney on X on Twitter. He does a good job covering the league. Denton's news next will include a quarterback whose fifth-year option won't be picked up and how the Nats did last night. That and more next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Hitting the news you might have missed. It's Denton's Daily News.
All right, Denton, what do you have for news?
All right, let's start with the Nats. Four-game streak broken, four-game win streak broken in Texas. They lose to the Rangers 7-1. At one point, they were up 1-0, so that was nice. Didn't end well. Their bats cooled off drastically, just three hits. So not the greatest start to the series against Texas.
Yeah, John Gray, the starter for Texas, was lights out. He retired 22 out of 23 at one point. Went eight innings, gave up just three hits, one earned run. He was outstanding in the game. Mackenzie Gore wasn't bad in his start, but they just didn't generate enough offense. C.J. Abrams, by the way, had a single to lead off the game, and he's now got an on-base streak up to 16 games. So he is having an all-star start to the season. Nats drop a game below 500 after getting to 500. So they'll play again today or tonight.
All right. So I know you're excited about the upcoming Jake Paul Mike Tyson fight. Well, it was announced yesterday or 2 days ago, excuse me, that it is now officially going to be a sanctioned professional fight. The result will be recorded on official records. Knockouts are permitted. The fight will consist of 8 2-minute rounds, and the fighters will wear 18-ounce gloves with no headgear. It also means that legally in the United States, because it's a professional fight, you can gamble on the fight.
8 2-minute rounds?
Yeah.
That makes it an official sanctioned fight? That's weird.
Yeah, I thought that was odd, too, because that doesn't sound like what it normally is. I thought it was 3-minute 12. Or three.
I'm going to take a major left-hand turn, because I bet you don't have this in the news. Did you see the story, speaking of headgear, that the NFL is going to allow those, you know, those practice helmets that they use? I forget what they're called.
Yes, I did see that. That is a major left turn, but I see where you got there.
They're going to allow those in actual games for players that want to wear them. You know, those are the things that kind of look like plastic cages. Anyway, back to Tyson. I actually am looking forward to seeing what Mike Tyson looks like. I've seen the pictures of him. I mean, he looks to be an incredible shape, and I don't know. I mean, there's certain, you know, people of certain age that are probably going to be rooting big time for Mike. Is that fight at Jerry World?
It's not in Vegas, I don't think.
No, is it? I think it's in Dallas, right?
Yeah, it might be. It might be in Dallas. It's live on Netflix. I know that for sure.
How old's Jake Paul?
I think he's a year or two younger than I am, so he's 26 or 27.
Hmm. About a 30-year difference, somewhere around there.
Would you care to guess the gambling line as it stands right now?
I have no idea what it would be. Tell me.
Jake Paul's the favorite by a pretty significant margin.
Well, I would think since he's fighting a guy in his late 50s, yeah, right?
Yeah, he is minus 240, Mike Tyson plus 190. I would wager that there's going to be a good amount of money on Mike Tyson in this one. Because as good as Jake Paul is in terms of like a young guy, he's never fought anyone that was nearly as good as Mike Tyson. Even Mike Tyson now, I don't think is nearly as good as some of the guys he's fought. He's fought like a bunch of UFC fighters. And the one boxer that he fought, he lost to.
Is this Apple TV?
Netflix, I think.
Netflix. Okay.
By the way, speaking of Netflix, I told you, I think it was earlier this week or maybe it was last week, Tom Brady getting roasted on Netflix. Bill Belichick is apparently going to be one of the roasters of Tom Brady.
That should be interesting. I actually think Belichick has a very subtle, good sense of humor. So, anyway,
I do too.
What else?
I like Belichick on TV, by the way.
Love him on TV.
I think he's pretty good. You're seeing him open up a little bit, which is nice, both him and Saban. There was a really good – do you ever watch that doc on – I think it was on HBO like 2 or 3 years ago?
I did not. I did not watch that, but I did watch – Belichick on McAfee's draft show on Thursday night. I didn't watch it live, but I watched the, and you could try to find the sound on this and we could play it later on in the show, him telling the story of the trade for Randy Moss. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I did see that. I might have to clean that one up, but I can go and find it.
Yeah, that's a great story, and I agree with you. I think we're going to get Belichick, you know, much more. I mean, he's smart enough to understand that it's not one-word answers when you are a media member and you're being asked to give analysis. I think the best Belichick will come, I would hope, when he's talking about NFL teams and games during the season versus, you know, the projection of college players into the NFL. I think next year Belichick's going to be, you know, we're going to have Belichick sound once every couple of weeks about something he said about somebody, or I think it'll be great to listen to, and I think Saban will be too.
Yes, yeah, Saban's been really, really good. I do wonder the comedic chops of Belichick, because I mean, you know, I don't know if you're a fan of roasts or not, but I happen to enjoy them every now and then. It's not just jokes directed at Tom Brady. Like, everyone
yeah,
is going to get it.
You take a shot at everybody on the panel.
So I can't imagine some of the jokes that are going to be said about Bill Belichick. Randy Moss also going to be on the roasters, and I think Randy Moss is hilarious. So I think this is going to – I think I was going to watch it anyway just because it was a roast of Tom Brady, but now that you're getting Randy Moss, Belichick, Gronk obviously is going to be there. I think Edelman will be there as well. This could end up being really, really good.
So this is for those of you 50 years of age or older. In the 70s, Dean Martin had a show. They were generally, I think, it wasn't like a weekly show. It would be like, you know, once or twice a year. Maybe it was more than that. I can't remember specifically, but it was, they were celebrity roasts. And, you know, he had Don Rickles was on every single, you know, every single stage, no matter who was being roasted. But those things are all available on YouTube. And not only are they hilarious, but in most of them, they would never be able to air today because they are so incorrect from every standpoint for what, you know, today's stomach would allow. But they are brilliantly funny. You know, all of those guys, the Rat Pack guys, Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra and Sammy Davis. But there's a lot of other, you know, 70s guys. But Rickles was always the guy that would steal the show. Red Fox, another one that would steal the show on some of these. And if you ever want to go back and do a deep dive for, you know, a couple of hours and watch some of these things, they're hysterical. Hysterical. Some of the people that they roasted, like I'm pulling up to see if there's like a Wikipedia page on this. Yeah, I don't know when they aired.
You know who is
here?
Here it is.
So there were they aired from 1974 to 1984. It was called the Dean Martin Celebrity Roast. Dean Martin, by the way, was bombed, inebriated on every single show. You know, he was well on his way when the show started, and by the end of it, he could barely lift, you know, the glass that was in his hand. But they had 54 of these episodes. 29 of them were considered specials. 25 were considered part of the Dean Martin show. But Hugh Hefner, Ed McMahon, Kirk Douglas, Betty Davis, Johnny Carson, Wilt Chamberlain was roasted, Carol O'Connor, Jack Klugman, Rickles was actually roasted, Red Fox was, Bob Hope, Lucille Ball. I mean, just all of the big stars of the day, and they're hysterical to watch. I think they are. But anyway, what else? What else do you have?
You know which, I guess, semi-current, he actually just retired, but which athlete is really good on roast? He's been on a couple of them recently.
Give me a hint.
He just retired. And he played basketball.
He just retired and he played basketball. J.J. Redick?
Blake Griffin.
Oh, Blake Griffin's funny?
Yeah, Blake Griffin. He did a couple. I think he was on the Justin Bieber roast and maybe the Alec Baldwin roast. He was really good. Like, he has really good comedic delivery and comedic timing.
All right.
All right, anyway, how about Zach Wilson not getting his fifth-year option picked up? Broncos shockingly declined that one. Didn't see that one coming.
I saw this, like, one of those ESPN.com headlines. Broncos, sources, Broncos not picking up Wilson's option. I'm thinking, are they talking about Zach Wilson? Well, of course they're not picking up his option. They traded, what was it, a seventh-round pick for him last week?
Yeah.
Before the draft?
Right, and then drafted someone else.
And then drafted Bo Nix. But even if they didn't draft Bo Nix, they were no one's ever picking up Zach Wilson's fifth-year option. You know, that's one of those situations where, let's just say they didn't draft Bo Nix, and somehow Sean Payton, being a quarterback whisperer, got Zach Wilson to have the best year of his career. That would be one of those situations where, you know, worst case is you franchise tag him. But probably the more realistic case would be Zach Wilson, hopefully, and his people would say, oh, my God, my career was just jump-started by Sean Payton, so I'm going to stay here. How many fifth-year options were picked up from that draft?
I haven't seen an official number, but not a lot. I don't think it was more than five or six.
Yeah, I'm just looking. Usually it's not. Penei Sewell, Devontae Smith, Rashad Bateman got contract extensions. So out of the 32 players, right, picked in the 2021 first round of the draft, three have contract extensions at this point. Fifth-year option exercise: Trevor Lawrence, Kyle Pitts, Ja'Marr Chase, Jaylen Waddle, J.C. Horn, Pat Surtain, Parsons, Slater, Vera Tucker, Jalen Phillips, that's 10, Darisaw 11, Etienne Jr. 12, Newsom, Rousseau, more than I would think, and Owe. So what is that, 15? That's a lot,
that's
actually.
That's a lot. Holy smokes.
still waiting, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Mac Jones, Kadarius Toney, none of those, you know, Dallas is not picking up a fifth-year option on Trey Lance. Justin Fields is, I mean, they're not going to pick up that fifth-year option on him, I don't think. Mac Jones, no. Kadarius Toney, obviously, no. Quiddy Pay, Caleb Farley, Najee Harris, Peyton Turner, Eric Stokes. And then declined, Zach Wilson, Zaven Collins, and Jamin Davis. So there are only three of them that have been officially declined, and Jamin Davis is one of those 2021 picks. Ish. Man, I mean, since 2019, Haskins, Sweat was a good pick. Trade back in. Thank you, Kyle Smith and that group who convinced the owner. If you're going to take Haskins, at least let us trade back to get the guy that we really want. Sweat, then it was Chase Young, Jamin Davis, Dotson, Forbes. This time next year, we'll be talking about, believe it or not, Dotson's fifth-year option. Hopefully, it's a no-brainer to pick it up. All right, anything else?
Yeah, one final story. Are you familiar with the name Matt Hilton?
Matt Hilton?
Yeah.
No.
Well, he's a hero. He saved the Dodgers-Diamondbacks game last night. They were in the midst of a 1 hour and 55-minute delay.
Is this the bee story?
Due to a colony of bees essentially overtaking the net right above home plate in Arizona, he came out and saved the day by just being a beekeeper. And, you know, he had suctions and sprays and all of these things that beekeepers have. I'm not exactly familiar with any of it. And then he got to throw out the first pitch. His first pitch was terrible, but he got to throw out the first pitch because he got them back on track after a near two-hour delay.
Fascinating job. Fascinating conversation, bees, and their importance to civilization and the future of civilization. You know, you got to get a beekeeper. You can't kill those bees. You can't spray them with Raid. By the way, who would do that? I just saw the way they were gathering. What were they gathering on? Was it
so now that there's most MLB teams have added to the netting that's around home plate, so balls don't go, you know, rocketing into stands if they're hit. So now not only is there a back net behind home plate, there's also one that kind of covers the top of it. So if a ball gets fouled straight up, it kind of hits the net and falls back down. They were at like the intersection of where those two kind of meet.
How many bees are in a situation like that? Is it thousands or hundreds?
I mean, I didn't count, but it looked like thousands. I mean, there's a lot. You could visibly see it from like a from far away, I would imagine. I mean, there was a clump of them there, so I'd imagine thousands.
You know, Chris Cooley's wife, Maddie, was for a while a bit of a beekeeper. I think they kept bees. I mean, they keep a lot of things. They have basically a small petting zoo at their house out in Wyoming. But when they were living here in Virginia, she had whatever you call that, a bee colony or whatever, and they got a lot of honey out of the bees. And interesting. Now she does chickens out in Wyoming. They got a lot of chickens. They get all their eggs from the chickens. I actually learned something the other night. If you keep chickens and you get your eggs from chickens, you don't have to refrigerate those eggs. They can just sit right out on the counter and you can eat them at, you know, the temperature in which it's room temperature. But the eggs you buy from the supermarket have to be refrigerated.
Right.
There you go. Interesting stuff. Really good newscast today. Appreciate that. The bee story, I saw the bees. I'm like, that's always interesting to me, all those bees. I'd love to know how many bees were there. Like, the beekeeper will know, right? He'll have an estimate.
Yeah, I'm like, sure he'd have a count.
You know, is it 50,000? Is it 20? Like, I don't know what that looks like. I don't know how many bees are in a hive. But I would guess that it's probably at least 1,000. In that picture of the bees.
Yeah, I would say definitely 1,000.
We're not going to do any of the protest news as part of the newscast today. It was riveting television there late night. I will concede that. All right. Up next, I learned something about one of Washington's draft picks that I will share with you when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank.
LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
So we had Kent Lee Platy on the show yesterday. If you missed it, it was interesting. He is the creator of the Relative Athletic Score, RAS. Washington finished number one in the league after the draft for its draft class, being the most athletic draft class. Look, there's a lot to football beyond athleticism, and he discussed that, you know, that this is one measurement. I thought some of the things that he said were interesting, like tight ends, essentially the elite tight ends. It's pretty much, along with offensive linemen, it's the telltale. You know, their raw athletic score has basically matched up with, you know, if they had a high one, with, you know, incredible production at the NFL level. Those were the three positions he talked about the most: O-line, pass rusher, and tight end. Well, Washington drafted one offensive lineman in their nine-player class. His name was Brandon Coleman from TCU, and his raw athletic score was the highest on the class, Washington's class, which was the highest in the NFL. Brandon Coleman is a big-time athlete. On a scale of 0 to 10, he scored a 9.97. Next best in the class, Jaden Daniels and Johnny Newton do not have scores because they didn't work out at the combine. Newton was hurt, remember, as well. But next best in the class in terms of who was measured was tight end Ben Sinnott. By the way, I looked up the phonetic spelling and the pronunciation. It is Sinnott. A lot of people have said Sinnott. I thought it was Sinnott, too. That's what I remember from the games this year. And maybe some announcers actually referred to him as Sinnott. But in the K-State pronunciation phonetic spelling, it's S-I-N-I-T, as in Sinnott, if you were wondering and curious. But Brandon Coleman from TCU. So he talked about this guy just being an athletic freak and how it is one of those positions where it sort of tends to translate more to the NFL. Well, I have some TCU connections. I paid tuition for my oldest son to go to TCU. I loved TCU as a parent. It's a great university. It is a wonderful place. Fort Worth is great. So somebody I know real well that is tied into TCU as well said, heard you talking about Brandon Coleman yesterday. He is not only just athletically gifted in terms of the measurables, apparently he is an unbelievable basketball player. That he is an absolute freak basketball player, able to dunk every which way and just unbelievably athletic as a basketball player, which tells you right there the kind of athlete he is. By the way, I think Trent's a good basketball player, Trent Williams. I believe that's true.
That is true. He is good at basketball.
Yeah. But apparently Brandon Coleman is a freak as a basketball player. Pickup basketball player, maybe intramural basketball player, but could have played basketball, college basketball, apparently, very easily. So, you know, there are reasons to be excited about a lot of the picks. We don't know anything today, but They definitely went with whether it was RAS or their own internal athletic measurement system. They erred on the side of athletic players. You know, as our guy yesterday, Kent Lee Platy, said, Jaden Daniels would have tested had he done a lot of this stuff at the combine, would have been super high. And he believes Johnny Newton would have been as well. Newton was banged up and hurt and didn't participate in a lot of that stuff. But interestingly, the guy that was probably the best playmaker other than Daniels in the class, corner Mike Sanristil from Michigan, he had the lowest score of all of their drafted players at 8.45. Still a very solid RAS score, but the lowest of their draft class. But there's a reason today to be optimistic. I'm sure we have been optimistic many times about draft classes in the past, but you know, everybody understands what the pushback is on this. They don't know, because if they did know, they wouldn't get it right only about 35% of the time. Out of that 9-player class, what you really hope for is you hope minimum, you have 3, you know, big-time contributors. If you get to 4, you have outkicked the typical average. I just hope if you tell me today that 4 of the players from the 2024 class are major contributors on this team 3 years from now, I just pray to God one of them is Jaden Daniels, because that's what this class will be remembered for. All right, we'll talk more Washington Commanders next with Michael Phillips from Richmond. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're also free and live on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.